Do you find yourself provoking conversations with your friends and coworkers? Are you a strong listener? Then you should consider applying to become the next host of A Public Affair, WORT's daily hour-long call-in talk program. We're now accepting applications for this volunteer position. The next host will be the voice of Tuesday's show and join a stellar lineup of folks who engage listeners in conversations on social, cultural, and political issues of importance every day of the week. We're looking for someone who is curious and well-informed, comfortable speaking on air, someone who can think on their feet, and has at least 5 hours a week to prepare and host the show. To find out more information or apply, go to wortfm.org/talkhost.
serious about any kind of public safety. They actually, it's like low-hanging fruit. Instead of, you know, actually carrying out investigations of, like, cartels, you know, they're basically going after working people, labeling them as a threat, and, you know, really making this push towards, you know, stripping people of, you know, very important rights. And I think it's very telling that, you know, I think we all understand this, but, you know, it's very telling that in the case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who is a Salvadoran construction worker and father from Maryland, he was also one of those people that the Trump administration labeled as a gang member because he was wearing some Chicago Bulls clothing. And then he, you know, he has also been deported to this terrible prison, and what they and have admitted that it's wrong, and is still, you know, is refusing to release him or work for his release. And you know, when President Trump met with the president of El Salvador, you know, he told him, and has since then reiterated, you know, that he wants the president there to build four or five more prisons like that, you know, this prison with tens of thousands of people, and so that he can put the homegrown people there, which is, which means U.S. citizens. So it's really an assault on our rights to protest.
Christine, I have to interrupt you for just a second. I'm sorry. Apologies. The first half didn't quite get recorded. So I was wondering, could you just like briefly introduce. Yes. So you're with Voces de la Frontera, the executive director, Christine Noonan Ortiz, and you're an organization led by low-wage workers, immigrants, and youth. And so can you just like speak a little bit, like kind of a little brief introduction of what happened again at the Milwaukee courthouse on Friday, and just like all of these implications it's going to have on our immigrant community?
Sure. Well, on Friday, the FBI agents came and arrested Judge Hannah Dugan in court because they allege that she interfered with the arrest of an immigrant in her court. And then she was taken to the federal courthouse where they charged her with felonies and has an upcoming court on May 15th. We quickly organized a rapid response protest in real time to the steps of the federal courthouse while she was being facing these wrongful charges, and then later that afternoon. And it's, you know, the implications are major because it is a direct threat to judges who are standing up for constitutional rights, as she was when she was standing up for the constitutional rights of immigrants. And you know, and I mean, you know, redirecting them, because when ICE came to her courtroom, they did not have a judicial warrant. So she is standing up for the rights of immigrants to have due process rights, which really represent the rights of everybody. And it's something that now I think it behooves us to stand in solidarity with her on May 1st in Milwaukee. It's going to be a statewide march and rally, and we're lifting up the demand of that these charges need to be dropped, ICE needs to be out of the courtrooms, and we then need to again show up on May 15th to make sure that in the same way that she's standing up, that that more people stand with her.
Mm-hmm. And so also, like, this is not just important for preserving the rights of our immigrant community, but can how would this affect me as a white woman? Like, can you speak kind of to that, just to correlate?
Yeah. I mean, if you know, in this case, you know, if immigrants are unable to seek protections from the courts, it like victims of domestic violence, people who need a restraining order, issues around family, or, you know, rent issues around dilations as for tenants' rights, or being falsely charged with something, all of those reasons are why we need to seek the justice and the protections of the court. And in doing so, it pushes people into the shadows and makes people more vulnerable to abuse. And when that happens, it basically creates an environment where you have, you know, just, you know, people who are willing to exploit that and who are not held accountable to that, whether that's someone, you know, violating people in terms of housing, you know, or even, you know, at labor rights issues, mm-hmm. You know, personal issues around personal safety. I mean, all of those issues are, you know, creates an environment that makes all of us less safe. And constitutional rights are constitutional rights. They hold for everybody. And we see as what happened with the judge who was a U.S. citizen woman at judge that, you know, they are going after her rights as well. This is total overreach. And this is really an effort to expand authoritarianism, to impose policies of, you know, white supremacy ideology, and restructure government so it only benefits the wealthiest. So mm-hmm. this is something that is an assault on all fronts. And it's important when there are moments like this that we stand strong, that we are not divided, and we push back hard.
And also, so just kind of like a quick wrap up. We know that every year Voces de la Frontera celebrates International Workers' Day on May 1st, May Day, with your annual Day Without Immigrants and Workers. So the gathering, it's going to begin March 3rd at 9:30 a.m. In Milwaukee. March 1st. March 1st in Milwaukee on 733 West Mitchell Street. So can you tell us just briefly what all you have planned for this march?
Yeah, so we are gathering statewide in Milwaukee. It's one of 600 events that's being organized in 43 states. And as you mentioned, Wisconsin has some of the largest, you know, community-wide general strikes, which is what we call a Day Without Immigrants and Workers. And it's a way to collectively not just march, but to show that, you know, the economic power that working class people hold when they come together. And this has been an important form of protection for us. So both the alliances, but also this like very strong economic actions. And so we're asking people that day to gather by 9:30 a.m. We have, if there are small businesses out there, businesses, you know, we ask them to either close during the period of the march or reduce operations. We have over 100 small businesses that are doing that in Milwaukee County. In schools, at least our youth arm is organizing 600 students so far that have permission slips from their parents to participate, and 26 buses coming from around the state representing workers from all kinds of different sectors, including dairy. And it's very important that, you know, that we use this as at a critical moment to push back hard and to disrupt in a different way, in a positive, peaceful, and family-friendly way, mm-hmm. But through the power of these statewide, community-wide general strikes, to resist what is happening to us and to really assert that power and be inspired and united, because we're going to have to continue to organize and build these grassroots networks and create safe spaces in different ways. And this is a critical moment to do that and to also center immigrant rights, which is very much a key part of the right-wing strategy. Just as Jews and eventually others were used by fascists in World War II, they are using them as the scapegoat to get away with all of the concentration of power and wealth that they're doing. And yeah. and all the harm that we have yet to see from the fallout, and we cannot allow those kind of politics to grow. And mm-hmm. so we know that we have to stand together, and we have to redirect that accountability with the folks who are really doing the yeah. harm.
Absolutely. I also want to thank you again, Christine Newman Ortiz of Voces de la Frontera, for joining us. And I also kind of want to apologize to our listeners for us not being on air for the first half of the show. But again, thank you so much, Christine, for joining us.
Not at all. It's always my pleasure. Thank you for helping to spread the word.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, okay, I wanted to, we have two guests here inside our studio, so I just want to welcome Mary Rathbun and Debbie Cadu-Sarada back to our station. They were here speaking with us last month. Mary is the gender equity lead and past president for UNA Dane County, and Debbie is a very proud member of UNA Dane. So thank you both for being here again with us today. Thank you for sticking around with us for going a little into our interview. So I just wanted, can you give us like some details about this upcoming second annual Women's Summit, which will be happening Saturday, May 3rd from noon to 3 p.m. at the Christ Presbyterian Church here in Madison.
Okay, what I wanted to say is that we start at noon, but the door is open 15 minutes ahead because you might want to come in and get your seat because the first hour is going to be devoted to lunch. And the lunch is free. The whole event is free, but the lunch is free. It's going to have standard American fare. And also some West African specialties. I'm particularly intrigued by the thing that includes shrimp and bananas in some way. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it will all be delicious. After that hour, we are going to have a keynote speaker who's going to deal with the real theme, which is women at the crossroads, global shifts, local realities, and collective action, which kind of describes the three parts of the program. She's going to be, Dr. Christine Garlow, our keynoter, is going to be talking about the fact that as institutions have been failing here, in Madison, statewide, nationally, and internationally, that her research and experience shows that women are already stepping up to build community and create change beyond traditional frameworks. After Chris speaks, we'll have three specialists who will drill down into their specialty. For example, the first one's specialty is IT, about how the changes in technology in the digital world are going to impact people who live here in Dane County. The next one will be talking about entrepreneurship, which interfaces with the shift, the increase in income inequality. And the third one is going to be talking about living sustainably and working for peace. And the third woman is a woman who's a farmer from Vernon County. So this is not all academics. This is academics and other people in the community who share similar values and understand the importance of building community. Because when institutions fail, the answer has got to be community. And women have a gift. I mean, all of us know that. For building community, a community based on need, not on identity. If you have a job interview and you have two toddlers at home and you go down the street and you ask a woman down the street if they can watch your toddlers, that's building community on need, not on whether you're a male, a female, you're black or white or brown. It's based on need. So after the panelists, this is going to be a moderated panel, the three people, and it's going to be moderated by an emeritus professor. That means she's old. But it's also going to be, one of the speakers is a student. So we are trying to reach intergenerationally, because that's essential in today's world. We have to have the wisdom of the older and the energy and the innovative spirit of the younger people. So after our panel, we're going to do something we didn't do last year. This is the second summit. The first summit, everyone there gave us real positive comments on the information that was provided. But then they say, okay, now we know this. What can we do? So the second half of the program is going to deal with gathering information from the audience, from the presenters, from the organizers about what can we do? Mm-hmm. Now we know this about what our priorities are. Mm-hmm. What our common drive forward is going to be. There are going to be great breakout sessions to facilitate gathering this information. And then we intend to develop a call to action that after we have co-created, and we're going to select one tangible strategic action that offers a clear path forward. Progress on this action will be reviewed at the 2026 summit. We hope this is going to be an ongoing series. UNA Dane County is committed to not only providing information, but facilitating action on that information.
Absolutely. So talking about some of the works that still need to be accomplished as we look, and then you also kind of pointed out how UNA Dane is going to support that. So I kind of want to switch it over to Debbie. And can you talk to us about like the importance of being a member and your perspective on this and how, you know, other people can get involved?
Okay, so I joined UNA because I believe that global challenges demand both global awareness and local action. And more importantly, they demand collaboration across generations. And UNA provides us with this space. One of the reasons I felt called to this work is because we're living in a time that requires wisdom from experience. And that's why we have a moderator of a certain age and students. But we also require boldness from emerging voices. When older and younger generations come together, not in silos, but in true partnership, we create something powerful, continuity, courage, and community-based leadership that can stand the test of time. So my vision for our chapter is to be a hub of intergenerational dialogue and action, where we not only understand the issues, but co-create solutions together. And one of the benefits, more specifically, of being a member, include the opportunity to connect global issues locally. UNA links you directly to the work of the United Nations, making it real and actionable at the community level. We stay informed. We have lots of information on critical issues like human rights, peace, sustainable development, and climate action. Name it. Anything that affects the human being. And this information is presented in such a way, is shared in such a way that it shows us how it actually affects us as individuals here in Madison, in our city, state, country and the world. It also provides us with leadership and advocacy opportunities. Those are one of the benefits. So as a member, you have opportunities to advocate very directly with policymakers, speak up for global cooperation, and shape public discourse around key issues.
Just briefly, we've got just a couple of minutes. How would people get involved in UNA Dane?
First of all, sign up for your membership.
if you go to unadane.org, that's our website, it'll allow you to do a couple of things. One is register for this summit, because registration is required. Mm-hmm. And the other is that it will give you a link to join.
Yes.
Awesome.
Membership is $25 for your first year. And after that, continuing membership is $50 to give the national and the local money to operate with.
Awesome. Well, and I want to thank you again. That was Mary Rathman.